Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. It's a B-Team edition. Buckeye and baked goods with you here on a Monday. It's good, the bad, the ugly. You can get yours in by calling or texting 970-242-1340. We have good call, bad call coming up later on this hour because I forgot it last hour. You also have Four Down Territory coming up. We have Wrigley Field, Colorado sports trivia coming up. A chance to win $15 to Wrigley Field. $15 gift certificate. The home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee, by the way. So there is that. Also tonight, game number two, I was on the Avalanche preview screen. Game number two, Nuggets and Timberwolves, Northwest Division foes, facing off. Tonight on TNT, the Knicks are the first game, so you can expect the Nuggets game not to start till probably 8:30 right here on the Team Sports Network. Injury report, Jalen Clark is out. He's done. Jamal Murray is a game-time decision for tonight's game. 106-99, the Nuggets lost the first game because Anthony Edwards is a stud, and the Nuggets, outside of Nikola Jokic, didn't really have a stud-adjacent performance.
That wasn't great.
The bench had 15 points between Holiday, Jackson, and Brown. It's just not going to get it done.
It's not.
15 points between Gordon and KCP. So the six guys that played off the bench or where Aaron Gordon and KCP had 30 points. Nikola Jokic, 32. Michael Porter Jr. with 20. Again, another good effort by Michael Porter Jr. 20 points, 6 rebounds on 6 of 13 shooting, just 2 turnovers. That's pretty good. He's had a really good playoff run with now 3 brothers in heaps of trouble. And Jamal Murray was 6 of 14, 17 points. He finished minus 22. He, no matter what those numbers say, 6 of 14, that's like 40-some percent. He was not good.
If he was 6 of 14 in, let's say, just the first quarter.
Or first half.
First half even. That's fine. All game.
That's a full game because he was scoreless in the first half. It's just not ideal.
0 for 5? In the first half?
Yeah.
So he's only taking 5 shots. And I mean, you know, if you're firing blanks, at some point you need to figure out what's wrong with your ammunition. But if you're only shooting it 5 times total in 20 minutes of basketball, I mean, that's not very...
Like, there's something wrong because Jamal Murray is a more prolific shooter than that.
More prolific shooter, but also takes more shots.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
That's what I mean. He puts up more shots. He's a better shooter than Ofer.
And there's got to be some psychology behind it because
the calf has to be bothering him more than the, hey, man, it is what it is.
And maybe it's not even the calf itself. Not like, you know. It's not the calf on the surface level that's bothering him, more so than just the fear of, oh God, something hurts, and I don't want to put myself in a position where I'm all of a sudden facing the possibility of another long-term injury.
And that may be it entirely with Jamal Murray is he's now thinking about it way too much, which everybody always says is the problem, right?
If you're thinking, you're not playing.
Yeah. So you take a look at the NBA right now. You have the second round is now fully fleshed out after the Cavs beat the Magic last night by a score of 106-94. So game number two is going to be Nuggets-Timberwolves coming up tonight. First game is Pacers-Knicks. Game one coming up from the Garden tonight. And then the game ones for the remaining are on Tuesday night, Cavaliers at Celtics and Mavericks at Thunder. So that's how the NBA playoffs are currently shaping up. Round two is all set to go for the NHL. Actually, the round two is already underway, but it's now fully set with the Stars beating the Golden Knights. Rangers lead the Hurricanes 1-0. That game two is coming up tomorrow night. Game one between the Panthers and the Bruins. Man, what about the Maple Leafs? Yikes. Boston almost blew that series. Maple Leafs couldn't close it out. You got Panthers and Bruins. Game one coming up tonight. Game one for the Avalanche and the Stars coming up tomorrow night. Game one, Canucks and the Oil coming up on Wednesday. From Edmonton, a little Canadian series. So one of the two remaining Canadian teams is going to be knocked out. How about that? How do you like them apples?
Sorry, Canada.
Yeah, sorry, Canada. Blame Canada. So that's kind of how those two series shape up. Colorado Avalanche are ultimately going to get a week off between their first round game, their first round clincher, game five, and game two, game one of the second round.
This is a note from Harrison Wynn, who writes for DNVR.
If,
and this is something we should keep in mind for our programming sake, if both Nuggets, Timberwolves, and Avs Stars go to a game seven, both are scheduled for Sunday, May 19th.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened. Well, they were scheduled to happen in the first round. And because they're not both, only one, the Nuggets have the home court advantage. Actually, I don't think they do over the Timberwolves. They would not against Oklahoma City. But since only one team has the home court advantage between the Avs and the Nuggets, then, yeah, it's kind of easy to get those two. I think game six and seven of the previous series were slated to be on the same day. So we have contingencies in place, but we don't have to worry about them until we get to game seven.
Cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, exactly. The Stars locked up the final spot in the second round with a 2-1 win over the Golden Knights. As the division champions, they will have home ice advantage against the Avs. The Avs get that full week off. In a reverse of their previous series, the Avs faced a Jets team that had beaten them in all three regular season meetings. Colorado's won three of the four against Dallas. But Dallas, much like the Jets, scored seven at the end of the regular season at Ball Arena against the Avs. And how did that work out for the Jets?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. Game one coming up tomorrow night, 7:30. Game two coming up Thursday night, 7:30. Start times TBD for the rest of the five. Dallas at Colorado Saturday and Monday for game three and four. Back to Dallas game five, if necessary, a week from Wednesday the 15th. Game six the 17th. And then, as you mentioned, game seven is going to be the 19th. So we have contingencies in place for all of those. You can get your thoughts in on the text line 970-242-1340. We have already played the number game. We have the Wrigley Field Colorado sports trivia coming up in just a little bit. We have four down territory coming up in a few as well. But right now it is time for...
Was that a good call or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
Yes, good call or bad call, brought to you by our friends at Brown's Cremation and Funeral Services. It is always a good call to have that set up beforehand instead of leaving it to your family to try to make those arrangements after you have passed on. They're already dealing with enough on top of just losing you. it's a lot to have to go through all of that. But Brown's Cremation and Funeral Services, you can find them at brownscremationservice.com, 255-8888. Watched Nuggets game one on Saturday. Shaq not on the dais for TNT, but Dirk Nowitzki killing it. He was fantastic on Saturday. Good call, bad call. Dirk should have a full-time job on the national desk.
I think that's a good call. I think that's a good call.
I agree, because it's my idea, but I think that's a good call.
I'm with me all the time.
I'm with me all the time. Dirk was fantastic. He was great.
Sticking on the theme of sports media and basketball coverage, the ongoing negotiations and bidding wars for NBA TV rights, NBC Comcast has thrown in a bid of $2.5 billion. Turner has, I think either last week or sometime this week would be the deadline for them to kind of answer for that bid. If NBC ultimately gets the rights, then they have an interesting choice to make, because Ernie's not going anywhere. He's not leaving Turner. Charles Barkley will be a free agent. That's in his contract. So NBC potentially splitting the inside the NBA crew, splitting them up, breaking them up, that's a bad call. And I know that it's out of their control because of contracts and pre-existing agreements, but to break up that crew and separate them, that's a bad call. That is a bad call.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to word this so I don't sound like an idiot, which I don't really care about. So here we go.
Here we go.
I think that the NBA is the one of the four sports. Maybe there's some hockey there, but the NBA is the one that needs their studio show more than any other. The NFL doesn't need the studio show. They just upheavaled, they just rearranged the CBS desk. Does anybody care? You're going to watch less of the pregame shows? No, you're probably not. The one that would hurt the NFL the most, I think, is if they lost NFL Game Day on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Rich Eisen, and they bounced Michael Irvin, so they're going to have to make some changes. But Mariucci, Kurt Warner, that's a good show. Baseball, there's not a weekly national broadcast that has a desk leader. Like, Baseball Tonight is not on right before Sunday Night Baseball as much as it used to. Like, it is not appointment television like it used to be. But you don't have, I mean, you have the guys on MLB Tonight, but like, there's already 15 guys that they rotate in and out of there anyway.
Yeah.
But Shaq, Ernie, Kenny, Charles, that foursome is so integral to how basketball is consumed, because the inside the NBA, the post-game show, the moments, most of the viral moments are something somebody says about basketball.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's not bits. It's not Pat McAfee or Gronk or whoever else, right? Some of it is bit, but most of it is, you know, the substance of the program.
Well, and it's not even just the substance. It's the chemistry between them. I mean, you mentioned how...
And that's Ernie. That's a lot of that's Ernie.
A lot of that's Ernie. And you know, Ernie is kind of the ringleader, and Shaq and Chuck are the two kids in class that you shouldn't sit next to each other, but maybe you don't have a choice. Kenny... Yeah. You know,
Kenny's the faux nerd.
Faux nerd can be a little bit of an instigator sometimes.
Oh, for sure. Pot stir between the two.
You know, and that's what, but see, again, I've said this about that particular show and that program as it's currently constructed. It's good for basketball, but it's also really good for the non-basketball watchers. Mm-hmm. It's for people who are just like, hey, you know, I may not know everything about this sport and I may not follow it as much, but I love, you know, I love what they say, and they're funny, and they actually have, you know, last year, the comparisons talking about ESPN's NBA coverage versus TNT's. ESPN was all about hot takes.
Yeah.
You got to have the hottest of takes, and you got to have it in under 60 seconds because we got to fill all these commercial breaks. Whereas TNT and the Turner crew, it's give us your objective analysis and let your personality shine. You don't have to have the spiciest of takes. You just have to. You just have to be honest.
The desk for I'll lump baseball in here too because of TBS and what they try to do in Fox. The desk for baseball and hockey and ESPN's basketball coverage is directly attributed to me to the success of Inside the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like ESPN always, it feels like every time I come across that, which is not appointment viewing for me. So I don't know, like the jump a little bit, but like Perkins is, you know, trying his own Shaq Charles Barkley-esque take without the resume. You know, he's trying to do that. Stephen A., Michael Wilbon, why are these guys on the NBA pregame show? You know, even going back to like Jalen Rose and Dan Patrick when he was there, it's like Dan Patrick was trying to make it ish, but on stand on its own from Inside the NBA. Now the TNT crew like lives rent free in all these guys' heads, like Pete Rose and Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz and Pedro and AJ Pierzynski, and all these guys are trying to recreate Inside the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Gretzky, Bissonnette, Ray Ferraro, Buchagras, all these guys are, like, even TNT is trying to get their B team going with, like, Candace Parker and Adam Lefkoe and Jim Jackson. And their B team is still a lot better than most of the, because Turner has a different approach, and you nailed it. It is not, come on, guys, we gotta, let's be argumentative. Let's yell and holler, and you give us a viral hot take. Like, TNT says, just do what you do, and if it goes viral, it goes viral.
And it just so happens to go viral a lot.
Talk about the game, but be yourself. Let Candace Parker be exposed to a wider audience to the point to where she retired from the WNBA because the TV gig is better for her.
Mm-hmm.
Let Jim Jackson get exposed to the NBA because, or get to expose to the NBA audience because he is wonderful. You know, let Kenny and Charles and Shaq just do what they do. But also, it's also the ego involved with all of those other people.
Yeah.
Because the folks at ESPN that aren't named Dan Orlovsky, you don't feel that you can poke fun at them and have a good time at their expense. But did you watch Saturday? They hung Shaq out to dry because the kid had a video of him sleeping. And they're like, wow, he watches the games at home like he does here, which is great. This is Shaq. And he's letting everybody else take the you-know-what out of him, which is great because he's comfortable enough in who he is. The fact that, yeah, you know what, whatever. This is fun. I like these guys, so they can do it. And he does it back to Charles.
Yep.
Like, it gets heated. And I do believe Charles, because Charles would say, like, hey, if I hate Shaq, I'm going to say I hate Shaq. I don't care. He's like, I love Shaq. I don't care that he needles me about not having any rings. You know, because Charles Barkley will go out and when he's asked, is Shaq a billionaire? He'll be like, he's close. You know,
exactly.
Like, you can tell the relationship is there. I don't feel that's the case anywhere else, really.
I completely agree.
And so I'm with you. Like, it's going to be devastating to the way that I consume the NBA because I try to watch inside. Like, there are games on ESPN all over the place, NBA TV, but the TNT games always get me for a little bit longer than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Harlan and Albert and Eagle, they're all great. And Reggie Miller and Cheryl Swoops and
Mike Breen is good on ESPN.
Mike Breen is fantastic, but it's hard to lock into the full thing at times. Mainly because, like, I know coming up at the half, I'm not going to want to stick around, and then I forget to go back.
Yeah.
So, but I'm with you. That's going to hurt, I think, the NBA more than people realize. Now, I don't think they should try to force deals to happen for four guys in a studio show. I don't think that, but...
Especially when it's $2.5 billion.
I don't know what Shaq's situation is. I don't know what Kenny's situation is. Charles is a free agent if TNT loses the NBA, and Ernie's staying. So that's...
So already you know that's...
If it goes anywhere else, you know that that's probably going to break up. And I don't want Charles to go to ESPN. So, anyway, it's time right now for our Wrigley Field Colorado sports trivia question. You got the Muzak there, Maestro.
I do have the Muzak.
All right. By the way, Palisade Bulldogs head coach Nate Porter will join us tomorrow morning at 7:20. Just got that email from the boss man. Look at that. Took the day off and he's still working.
Love it.
Much more than me. I take the day off. You can barely get me to put on pants. Anyway, here's our Wrigley Field Colorado sports trivia question.
All right.
The Colorado Avalanche have faced two different teams in six playoff series each. Name both teams. First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340, text only. No age limit restriction. If you've won any time in the last 2 weeks, do please sit it out. If you don't want the prize, don't try to win it. That never makes any sense to me. But first correct answer gets a $15 gift certificate to our friends at Wrigley Field, Colorado's or Grand Junction's original sports bar, home with a 15-minute lunch guarantee. You sit down, you peruse the menu, you make the hardest decision of your day, which item off the menu to get, and you order it. If it's not to your table in 15 minutes or less, it's 50% off. Simple as that. It's home with a 15-minute lunch guarantee. Colorado Avalanche have faced two different teams in six playoff series. Name both teams. First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340, gets the $15 gift certificate to Wrigley Field. More to come. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text the Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line, 970-242-1340.
Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show, B-Team Edition, Buckeye and Baked Goods with you here as we head ever closer to the Jim Rome Show, 35 minutes away. Jim Davis, the aforementioned host of the Jim Davis Show, which, wonder where they got that name. He'll be back coming up tomorrow. It'll be the usual suspects tomorrow with Jim and yours truly. I believe we have a winner for Wrigley Field, Colorado Sports Trivia?
Oh, we do now.
Oh, we do. All right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Speaking of Jims.
Yep.
Jim Foster correctly answering the Dallas Stars and the Detroit Red Wings.
Yes, this will be the sixth time these Avs and Stars have met up, and they've met up six times with the Detroit Red Wings. And until expansion happens again, that number's not going to get any bigger because they're in different. I shouldn't say won't, but it'll have to be in the Stanley. Can you imagine Avs Red Wings Stanley Cup Finals?
Man,
Michigan rips my heart out again. I don't think that'll happen.
It'll be fun.
They're not very good. Yes, that would be a lot of fun. Avs Stars game number one coming up tomorrow night on the Team Sports Network. Now, I don't remember exactly where I was going. Oh, yes. So we talked about it a little bit in what's happening, and we talked a little bit of the seeding, but the Colorado Mesa baseball team once again winning, the RMAC regular season championship. They finished 34-16, 24-8 in the RMAC. And the Mavs took two of four from Adams State. Thursday night's game ended in a run rule loss, 28-16 in favor of the Grizzlies, and then they won the doubleheader on Friday. These are not misprints. 36-6 and 24-7.
This was baseball, not football.
Yes, baseball, not football. They took those two games, and then they rounded out the regular season with a loss to Adams State by a score of 14-10. So the Mavericks are number 11 in the country. They're the number one seed and will host the RMAC tournament. And they split with CSU Pueblo earlier on in the season. That's who they open up with coming up on Wednesday. 3 o'clock is what we've seen for that game. And it'll be another home RMAC tournament. 12th consecutive outright RMAC baseball championship for the Mavericks.
That's pretty good.
Yes. You take a look. Seniors, even using their COVID year, or what, 24? They were fifth graders the last time the Mavericks did not host the RMAC tournament. You might as well just move it here permanently.
Which I think was...
like the South Central Regional is always permanently in Texas, allegedly. Just move it here.
Well, that's, I mean, that was kind of why they built the Diamond in the first place, is because they wanted to be able to host tournaments and not run up against JUCO over at Saplesio.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are.
Look
over
at that.
At the Diamond.
Yep. Running up against other tournaments, but that's okay. We'll allow it because the Mavericks are kicking you know what and taking names. And so they're at the Diamond at the Bergman Sports Complex starting Wednesday. Starting Thursday, it'll be the South Central Regional Tournament as the Mavericks softball team has made it. They fell out of the RMAC tournament on Friday. They lost their first game to Regis, beat CSU Pueblo to stay alive, and then lost to MSU Denver to be eliminated. They are the sixth seed in the South Central Regional Tournament. They will go to site number 2 to take on UT Tyler. If my readings are correct, the tea leaves and the tarot cards, that will be Thursday at 4 p.m. Mountain Time at Tyler, Texas, against Colorado Christian, who the Mavs have just a skosh of history with.
Just a skosh.
In the RMAC. The other RMAC team in that tournament is Regis. So 5 Lone Star teams, 3 RMAC teams in the RMAC or in the South Central Regional Tournament. That's coming up starting Thursday. Take a look at the baseball rankings. We talked about the regional rankings or the regional tournament for CMU. The regional rankings for D2, trying to access those as we turn the calendar to May. And for whatever reason, they sent me to Wingate. But that's neither here nor there.
Gotta love the internet sometimes.
The Mavericks last week in the NCBWA national poll, taking a look, trying to find them, they were at 16th. In that poll, in the South Central region, they were 3rd behind Lubbock Christian and West Texas A&M. West Texas A&M did not get any first place votes, and they are ahead of the Mavericks, who got 2 first place votes. But maybe I never having attended school, math may be different.
Maybe.
In Texas. So there you go. There's that. And let's see. The men's lacrosse team is awaiting word, right? No, they have the RMAC tournament next, don't they? Or is they awaiting word on? Because the game against Colorado College
was
after the conference tournament?
It was after the conference tournament, and it was scheduled. It was going to be that way no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I'm so confused.
The selection show for men's lacrosse was last night, and unfortunately, Mesa did not.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that earlier in the program. Yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
No, you're good. So their season, unfortunately, coming to an end. But, you know, you end the season on a high note, getting the win. So, I mean,
again, that's, high note.
There you
Former
go.
Av. 13-4 were the Mavericks, 7-1 in the RMAC, and positively screwed out of a D2 playoffs. But I'm going to say that. I'll say it. It's fine. The CMU women's lacrosse team fell in the RMAC championship game in the tournament there. And I believe they missed out on the playoffs as well. Is that correct? Or is their selection show today?
I will double check that, but I think kind of similar how men's lacrosse is.
They also got screwed then. This is
probably.
Yeah. On the baseball diamond, Fertitta Monument's Colton Hicks helped secure another league win over Durango. That's 26 straight league wins for Fertitta Monument, dating back to the 2021 season. They won the last six in the league play of the 2021 season, unbeaten the last 2 years, and then currently 6-0 this year.
The women's lacrosse selection show is not until next Sunday.
Oh, dang. All right.
So well, there you go.
Got to hang out for a little bit there for the Mavericks. Fertitta Monument beat Durango in a doubleheader sweep. They have a home and away against Grand Junction Tuesday and Friday. The Central Warriors bounce back after their extra innings loss to Montrose to beat Gunnison on Saturday by a score of 7-5. A pair of doubles from Landon Clay helped Delta to an 11-1 win over North Fork. And so you have baseball getting down to the nitty-gritty coming up the last 2 weeks. And if you take a look at the CHASA RPI, which is a big determinator, but if that's not even a word, but for the baseball playoffs, Fertitta Monument right now sits third in the 5A RPI. Fossil Ridge Regis Jesuit checking in just ahead of Fertitta Monument in the 5A ranks. If you break it down to 4A, Palisade is third. They had a nice win over Coleridge last week on Thursday. That was a good win, a little walk-off winner. You have Palisades third behind Windsor and Golden. Then you have Grand Junction at 12th, Montrose at 17th. So they're kind of right there on that knife edge between, you know, having to go to the number one seed site or the number eight seed site, which is much easier to get the eight seed. Central checks in at 24th, Rifle is at 23rd. Those are the 4A ranks. And some Western Slope teams, Durango, Summit, Glenwood on the outside looking in as it stands right now at 4A. At 3A, you have Coleridge. The Titans are sitting there at number 6. Delta is at number 8 in the 3A RPI. North Fork at number 25. And Basalt at 24. So they're kind of hanging right around in there. And the seeding index, which is different than the RPI, because their seeding index is calculated by averaging each team's CHASA RPI and the Max Preps rankings. The ratings are normalized within their classification, then combined and averaged. Okay, so does that make sense? That makes sense. Clear as mud.
Sure.
Fertitta Monument is the 8th team in the seeding index in 5A, which is not the RPI. It's different. Palisade remains at 3rd in 4A, with Grand Junction at 14th, Montrose at 18th, and Central at 23rd, Rifle at 27th. That's the 4A seeding index. 3A seeding index, Coleridge is 7, Delta is 8, so a slot higher there, with North Fork at 29th, Basalt at 27th, Gunnison at 28th, right there. So you got three teams from this side of the hill, 27, 28, 29. So there is a little bit of a high school baseball seeding index for you. But right now, it's time.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Yes, it is four down territory, and the WNBA did not have a good weekend.
No, it did not.
It is not anything to do with the playing of the basketball, but the WNBA League Pass said they were going to have all the preseason games, and turns out they didn't. One lady had a cell phone video, like 2024's version of the Zapruder film, and it garnered over 8 million views.
I think it was like 800,000 or something.
800,000, something like that.
Still, though, that's
zeros, a lot of hits.
That's UFL numbers right there.
That's way better than UFL numbers. Notice we didn't have any UFL scores over the weekend. I don't even know if they're still playing. Do they hand out the championship? Yeah, I don't have no idea. Anyway,
who knows?
WNBA is started and regular season well underway. And they're talking up Caitlin Clark. Look at her first career basket in a practice game.
And then apparently she had yet another awkward post-game interview where a reporter asked a question that really probably should have been prepared better. Asking about, is Bay going to be there? Because it was, I didn't read the full thing on that, but it was yet another example of women's sports get asked very different questions than men's sports.
That's true.
Athletes do.
And this could go completely astray, but before I get to second, what is more, I'm not going to say cringe, because I think the way kids talk sounds stupid. What is more cringe-worthy? The question itself, or trying to ask it in the verbiage used by the age bracket you're asking to, instead of just asking, hey, is your boyfriend coming to see you play? Which is more cringeworthy?
I think it's the question itself. I think, like, why do you care?
Yeah, I'm with you. Don't say bae. You're a grown up. Don't say that.
Yeah.
You are a grown person, a professional. You're a reporter, so allegedly you went to an English class. Don't say that.
Yeah.
That irritates the crap out of me. But yes, the question is weird. And why, like, who cares? Like, don't even ask Olivia Dunn and Paul Skeens, who are a couple from LSU, two probably the most famous non-football basketball playing college athletes in the last 10 years. Don't even ask them. And that's a very social media-ish couple. Don't even ask them, because who cares? Unless it's like somebody else that's uber, uber famous. And even then, don't say bae. Do not say bae, because you sound like an idiot.
If it, you know, that question does not get asked of men. Is your girlfriend going to be there? Because then that might instigate
the
some
only
sort
one
of-
I can remember, and I don't know his name, but the guy who is in a relationship with Simone Biles.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yep. And even then, it's not warranted, because that question is more about the other person and not the athlete you're covering, which now you're just wasting everybody's time.
Yeah.
Second down. Which is more cringeworthy? The reporter asking the question of Caitlin Clark, or Patrick Beverly telling an ESPN producer who's beloved by everyone to GTFO because she does not subscribe to his podcast?
Oh, the Pat Beverly.
Pat Bev, man.
That one was bad.
That's a bad look. What a clown. You know, clown question, bro, Bryce Harper. Where's Bryce when you need him? What a clown. Patrick Beverly, if you're not familiar with the story, Patrick Beverly, there's a Google search over here that Patrick Beverly throws ball at fan. Well, right after he did that, there was a post-game scrum that Patrick Beverly and, I can't find her name right off the top of, but he asked an ESPN reporter, an ESPN producer, not even like a full-blown reporter, but a producer, that if she were, because she was asking him questions, Melinda Adams. So there was the post-game scrum going on. Melinda Adams was asking questions. Beverly asked if she subscribed to his podcast. She said no, and so he kind of pushed her microphone away, then eventually had her booted from the scrum to begin with. That's terrible. What a clown.
Yeah, that's bad.
What a clown. Third and fourth down.
ESPN hockey coverage, Rangers, Hurricanes, Ray Ferraro. Excellent.
Oh, chicken parm.
Excellent, brilliant analysis. Quote, it's really crazy to see what the first round does. It calls half of those playoff teams out of there. Yeah, Ray. That's how math works. That's how that works usually. Playoff teams play in the playoffs and they get eliminated. That's why they're in the playoffs.
I did like that you just did it yourself. playoff teams play in the playoffs. I love it. But yes, Ray, you're going to lose. You know what? It's the damnedest thing. You're going to lose half the teams every round.
What a shock.
It's so weird. You went from 16
to 8.
To 8. You know what's going to happen?
8's going to turn into 4.
8's going to turn into 4.
It's.
And then you know what's going to happen? 4's going to turn into 2. Then at the end of the day, one team stands alone.
Crazy.
Yes. And I hope it's the Colorado Avalanche because they have a little parlay action set up.
Little moolah.
Them and the Nuggets.
Fourth down, awful announcing ranked the 30 best NBA local TV broadcast ranked from
we talked about this last week a little bit.
So their list had Altitude TVs coming in at number 13.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Number 1 and number 2 feels like cheating. Because number 1 was the New York Knicks TV crew. You know who their play-by-play is?
That's Breen, right?
It's Mike Breen.
Yeah.
And number 2 is the Brooklyn Nets. You know who their guy is?
Iron Eagle?
It is Iron Eagle.
I remember, one, because I know that, too, because we talked about this last week, but we didn't bring up that aspect of it, that the 3 most populous cities had, like, were all in the top 10 of broadcasting.
Gee, how does that happen?
When you submit things to a fan vote, things like that tend to happen.
Just tend to happen.
Only slight tendencies. So, there you go. There is 4 down territory for you on this Monday, the 6th of May. Did you have a good Star Wars day, May the 4th?
I did.
Did you take in any of the movies?
I did. I caught the Phantom Menace re-release in the theater the other day.
Uh-huh.
First of all,
here we go again. Dork alert.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was the only one in my theater, which was nice.
That tracks with the Phantom Menace.
Well, so it's funny because I was looking at tickets ahead of time and they had multiple showings and the one that I thought I could make and then ended up not going because time didn't work out. That one looked pretty filled or at least had some people in it. This one had a few people in it. And then I realized, oh, this is the open caption assisted, like, you know, disability theater.
The words on the screen?
Yes.
Perfect.
Which I didn't mind. I actually really like.
I love it.
That one I don't mind. And it's very, very faint, but if you catch it, if you hear it just enough, it's kind of like, if it's not for me, it's not for me. The guy says, like, we start with a black screen that says, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, gotcha.
That, you know, like, tells you what's happening.
Mm-hmm. That would be a little bothersome.
A little bit. But again, that's not for me. That's for someone who would be visually impaired. And
I am a captions person, though.
I did like the captions.
I will say that. And I've been a captions person for years because sometimes my brain does not process the sound as quick as it does the words on the page. You know?
Yep.
So sometimes. So I'm a big captions guy. I have the captions on more often than not. So that was good. We watched, we finished off the end of Jedi and the first half of Force Awakens Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad. I enjoyed that. It is time right now, as soon as I find the clip for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
Yes, this day in sports history, 1998, Cubs rookie Kerry Wood threw a one-hit, no-walk, 20-strikeout game against Houston Astros. I watched that game, and Kerry Wood was a stud. The Astros looked like the Astros of now, just swinging at Frisbees and coming up completely empty. It was fantastic. 2007, Jimmy Johnson wins the Crown Royal 400 at the Richmond International Raceway. The race was the first major sports event to be held in Virginia since the Virginia Tech massacre there. 2015, LeBron James scores 33 points as the Cavs beat the Bulls 106-91 at Quicken Loans Arena. That one's kind of a random this day in sports history?
A little bit.
But, you know, this day in 1915, one baseball player named George hits his first major league home run and pitches 12 innings as the Boston Red Sox lose to the New York Yankees 4-3. That would be one Babe Ruth. It was this day in 1925, Ty Cobb hits his fifth home run in two games, tying Cap Anson's record in 1884, and then he beat up four people in the stands, which is still a single-game record. Red Sox scored 12 runs in the fourth, including four consecutive triples in 1934. That's a major league record. There's three derbies, 65, Johnstown wins, 65th. Derby, 70th Derby, Pensieve wins, 76th Derby, Middle Ground wins, and yesterday, the Kentucky Derby, Mystic Dan wins. Did you have any cash on Mystic Dan?
Did not.
What's our buddy Chris Britt's mood?
I haven't, I only quickly saw him in the hallway walking in this morning and seemed okay.
Okay, so I don't think he won then, because we would know.
Okay.
If he bet the winner at the Kentucky Derby. And I don't think any horse got Old Yeller, so I don't know if Mary bet on any horse, because she has kind of a tendency. She's kind of the Grim Reaper when it comes to horse betting, if I remember correctly. We'll come back. Garbage time on the way next. It's the Jim Davis Show.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. Buckeye and Baked Goods with you here as we put a bow on this B-Team edition of the Jim Davis Show. We fought, we've laughed, we verbally hugged, because don't touch me. I'm
likewise.
Yep, exactly. It's not a you thing. It's a me thing.
No, it's a me thing, yep, too.
Don't touch me. And so we've done all of that. And if you missed any part of it, you can catch the podcast coming up in a little bit. Coming up tomorrow, it'll be Mav Day. TBD on who's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, but it's going to be a fully loaded show. Palisade baseball coach Nate Porter as they get set for Montrose. That's going to be a fun one coming up tomorrow on the Team Sports Network at 3:45. We'll have Nate on at 7:20 in the morning. And we wrap up the show as per usual with a little garbage time.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
I went first. Good call, bad call. I went first for four down territory. You got any garbage time over there?
Continuing quickly on the Brady roast from last night, he got up there on the stage and made this remark saying, quote, "The NFL spent $20 million and found out it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would have just told you I bleeping did it." That drew laughs, and I can see why.
Yeah, it's humorous, but also
it's kind of a confession.
It's a little bit of a confession, but also it is a, man, the NFL just wasted a lot of money. Just give me the money.
Yeah.
It's like if Chris Bryant's going to play like this, give me the money for that.
Exactly.
I'll sit on the bench with my back hurting for $180 million.
Exactly.
We have a good, the bad, the ugly in from Dylan at the very end of the show. Usually, Avs getting extra rest. Bad Nuggets effort Saturday night. Ugly the Rockies. And UFC 301 was not a great card. Yeah, it wasn't. I got three of the four fights right, though.
There you go.
I parlayed all four together.
Ah.
That's the problem. Three of the four main fights. Yeah, I got the biggest favorite I bet on, lost. I don't remember his name, but did not. I went with all home fighters. It was in Brazil. And the four that I bet on all Brazilian fighters. And three of them won, so congratulations to
them. Hey.
None of them were Vitor Belfort, who we actually interviewed on this program once from Brazil. Very interesting cat. B-Team edition for the Jim Davis Show for Baked Goods on Buckeye. Jim is back tomorrow. Jim Rome is up next on the Team Sports Network.